This morning, my husband, Pastor Ali, is going to take us through forgiveness. This is a very delicate topic, a very powerful topic, and more so a very needed topic. Because for most of us to move on, we have to overcome the mountain of learning to forgive. And not only learning to, but to achieving forgiveness through Jesus. Thank you.
I'm glad that we could be here this morning. Because forgiveness is something we preach about nearly every Sabbath. But to live forgiveness is a different story. All of us here have some situations in our lives that we have struggled with. There have been many in my life that I have struggled with. And so I believe that as we come together today, just to look over and maybe refresh our minds after all the sermons we have heard on forgiveness, to really try to nail it and ask God to please be with us as we go through this very important study. And so, forgiveness. Forgiveness. This is the SDA Bible Dictionary. Forgiveness is translations of various Hebrew and Greek words which have a common, the idea of releasing an offender. Releasing an offender. Taking out that weight from that offender, releasing them. To release someone from what they have done to you. They offend from guilt and of restoring a personal relationship that existed prior to the offense. Now that's not easy. Oh, I could tell you it's not easy. And anybody who want to tell you it is easy and make you believe it is easy, it is not easy. But by the grace of God, we can do it. Amen? By the grace of God. Now, what is divine forgiveness? Do you sometimes struggle with forgiving others? I do. How about you? Do you sometimes struggle with forgiving others? Let's be open. We got to be open. We got to be transparent. Yes. You know, there are sometimes people believe they have a license to trample on you. And so sometimes we struggle. Understand that your awareness of how much God loves you and continually forgives you can be the catalyst to compel you to forgive others. Then you can actually forgive others with the Lord's divine forgiveness. If it's not for God's forgiveness in our lives, we cannot. Because forgiveness is a gift from God. The ability to forgive must be a gift from God. Naturally, I can't forgive. But by the grace of God, through His divine gift, I'm able to forgive. Now, prior to my becoming a Seventh-day Adventist, I lived, you know how we lived before we accepted Christ. And I remember when I accepted Christ, I realized that I had done something wrong where I grew up. You see, one day, got into a car, was heading up to the beach, and we were coming to a narrow bridge, which was very long. And realized that we hit the brake and the car couldn't stop. And coming on the opposite end was a school bus. And there we were with this car. Now, if the bus caught us on this side of the bridge, then we would be wrong. But if we hit the bus on the other side of the bridge, then we would be right. So we put out our hand to stop the bus driver, and graciously he stopped on the other side. And we went up right up and hit the bus. Now we spoke gently with the man, very kindly, but when the police came, I was the first one to say, he's at fault. But he wasn't at fault, I was at fault. And so it went to court. And I remember I stood when they called me, Ishmael Ali, they called you, and I stood up. Do you swear to hold truth or not? Yes, sir. I say, Your Honor, this gentleman saw us coming, and he didn't stop. And we hit him. And you know, they charged the man that day. A charge, they said, driving without due care and attention. I felt good that he was charged. But then when I came to Canada, when I accepted Jesus, I realized that what I have done to this man, that I need to go back and tell him that I'm sorry. I boarded a plane. You know, as a young Adventist, you want to do what's right. I boarded a plane. And I landed in my little island. Got a car, and I went up to the home. And as I knock on the door, a woman opened the door, and I said, I'm looking for Mr. So-and-so. And she said, he died 6 months ago. He died 6 months ago. Unto this day, as I speak with you, it still bothers me. And I still believe that when we have to forgive, we do it quickly. Do it quickly. Don't wait for time. Do it quickly. And so human forgiveness reflects our experience and understanding of divine forgiveness. Love, not rigid rules, govern forgiveness. What govern forgiveness is love, not rigid rules. Jesus demonstrated this teaching on the cross as he asks for forgiveness for his executioner. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Everyone there were forgiven. And so how about us? Excuse for not forgiving. Out of selfishness, we often muster a variety of excuse for not forgiving. These include revenge. I enjoy hating him. Anger, I'm too upset to forgive. Jealousy, I can't let him do this to me. I can't. Fear, I'm afraid that I'll be hurt again. I am afraid. Pride, I was right, he was wrong. Emotion, I don't feel like forgiving. Self-righteousness, he doesn't deserve my forgiveness. Guilt, I can't even forgive myself. And we're going to talk about that. We don't know how to forgive ourselves. Suffering, I've just too hurt to forgive you. You have gone too far. You have trampled on me. I just can't come to that point where I'm going to forgive you. And we worry, what if he doesn't understand? Forgiveness is not circumventing God's justice. Remember, it is allowing God to execute his justice in his time and in his way. Forgiveness is not waiting for time to heal all wounds. It is clear that time doesn't heal wounds. Some people will not allow healing. We continue to suffer. Do you know, most times our sickness, sometimes our pain, sometimes our attitude, it's because we have some unresolved issues that we have failed to forgive and we don't want to move on. But yet we pray, forgive us as we forgive others. So if I forgive you a little, I'm saying to God, just forgive me a little. I worked at a company. I used to hire people. I used to fire people. And there was this young gentleman, I hired him. And I was just became a Seventh-day Adventist. And you know, I got so upset with him one day. And because you had the power, you know, sometimes when you have power, you look down on people. And you know, it is so sad. And I made some rash comment to that young man. Now, he was bigger. As a matter of fact, he was a wrestler. He was on TV. He's one of those TV wrestlers. If he had gotten me, he could have taken my neck and put it in a lock. And you know, the time was coming for him to punch out to go home. And this thing was bothering me. You know, when you have Christ in your heart, you cannot feel comfortable with an unforgiving spirit. You cannot. You could never. It is not normal. And I didn't know. I was so proud. I didn't know. And I'm the boss. I was so proud to say I'm sorry. And I didn't want to say it. And I watched in the time as he was about to punch his card. I walk up to him. And I touched him. I said, listen, I need to talk to you. I said, I'm really sorry for how I spoke to you. I apologize. And he looked at me and he said, I never expected that from you. Well, that even make it worse. It make it worse because here am I, a young Seventh-day Adventist, telling everybody about Christ and spoke to him like that. He said, I never expected that from you. It simply says, if we go around with bitter feeling, resentment, unforgiving spirit, what kind of message are we telling the world? And so you might have reason. Forgiveness is not excusing unjust behavior. It is acknowledging that unjust behavior is without excuse while still forgiving. Forgiveness is not explaining away the hurt. It is working through the hurt. Working through it. And forgiveness is not just based on what is fear. It was not fair for Jesus to hang on the cross, but he did so that we could be forgiven. What is fair and what is unfair? God asks us to forgive. And God expects us to forgive. Do you know if we had more forgiveness in our churches, we would have healthier churches? Do you know we'll have more healthier families? Do you know we'll have a healthier conference? Do you know that same word forgiveness, lifting off the burden? Do you know we'll be the happiest people on planet Earth? That's the remedy for a revival. Forgiveness, not Bible prophecy. We should have a series only on forgiveness. And learn how to forgive each other. Forgiveness is not being a weak martyr. It is being strong enough to be Christ-like. Forgiveness is not suffering your anger. It is resolving your anger by releasing that offense to God, giving it to God. Forgiveness is not a natural response. It is a supernatural response empowered by God. Forgiveness is a gift from God. If you find yourself struggling to forgive, you need to ask God for the gift of forgiveness. You might say, you know, you make this very simplistic. Well, you know, it is simple. If God is not in us, there's a lot we can't do. But when God is in us and we take him at his word, we are able to do it. You know, I told you all so many stories. But you know, at one time, it was so hard for me to forgive anybody. Because in Toronto, I grew up basically by myself. But it's only when Christ came into my life, I learned what forgiveness is all about. forgiveness. Forgiveness is not denying the hurt. It is feeling the hurt and releasing it. Forgiveness is not being a doormat so people could trample on you time and time again and they expect you to forgive them. No, it is seeing that, as it were, so Jesus would have been the greatest doormat of all. Forgiveness is not conditional. It is unconditional, a mandate from God to everyone. You cannot forgive people with condition. Forgiveness is releasing that someone. And do you know when you forgive somebody, you feel good in your own heart? Do you know that? You feel released. You feel joyful. You feel so good. Do you know it's David who cried out because of that sin in his life. He said, my bones were dried up. If more husbands and wives could forgive each other on a daily basis, we won't have a need for family life ministries. It'll be taken care of right at the altar in your homes. Right there, learning to forgive, because we are all vulnerable. We are all open. We all are prone to make mistakes every day in our lives. The only perfect man apart from Jesus, my wife going to tell you it's me. Well, if she had to talk to you a little later, she's going to tell you that she's the perfect one. But for the grace of God. You see, I understand what forgiveness is, and you must understand that too. Now, forgiveness is not forgetting. All right? Forgiveness is not forgetting. It is necessary to remember before you can forgive. Remember, a lot of people remember the hurt. They remember the pain. I still struggle. All of us still struggle. But you know, forgiveness is not instantaneous. Sometimes forgiveness is a process. It takes time. It's a process. But some of us, the process never ends. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. If I don't feel like forgiving, how can I be asked to forgive? That doesn't seem right. If I don't like forgiving, how can I be asked to forgive? It doesn't seem right. Now the answer is forgiveness is not based on feelings, but rather on the fact that we, all of us, are called by God to forgive. We are called by God to forgive. We are not called by the pastors or the elders to forgive. We are called by whom? We are called by whom? God and God alone. Because he forgave us. And he said, now you go and forgive others. But we want to take God's forgiveness, and yet we wouldn't want to dispense forgiveness. Now don't put up your hand, but I'm sure each of us here, there's somebody we have in our vision right now. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, it leads to what? It might seem right to you not to forgive. And you know we have many rationales why we shouldn't forgive. We have many rationales. I could give you a lot of excuses why I should. I don't like you. To forgive means to release your resentment towards your offender. Your resentment to the offender. To release your right to hear, I'm sorry. When you forgive someone, you release your right to hear, I'm sorry. To release your right to be bitter. To release your right to get even. You have done that to me, I'll get you. My father used to say, tit for tat, butter for fat. If you kill my cat, I'll kill your dog. But you only want to say that when he drinks, you know. And he takes some of those things, you know. A different spirit take over him. And that's how some of us live. Now, is forgiveness the same as reconciliation? Is forgiveness the same as reconciliation? Yes or no? Wow. Ooh, you have a bright class here, lady. How you not saying that? How you sit in the back there? No, come up here. Come. You know, you're a bright class. I'm going to ask that question again. I'm going to catch somebody. You'll be surprised with the answer.
I told him I just love to hear his voice.
Yeah, but listen. I'm going to ask you a question. Is forgiveness the same as reconciliation? Yes or no? You know, y'all are pretty sharp. But it's true. No. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Forgiveness focuses on the offense. Whereas reconciliation focuses on what? The relationship. All right? Let's not mix that up. Forgiveness requires no relationship. However, reconciliation requires a relationship in which two people in agreement are walking together towards the same goal. To reconcile. We strayed from God. Christ came to reconcile us. To bring us back to the Father. Forgiveness is not letting the guilty off the hook. It is moving the guilty from the hook to God's hook. Let God take care of that situation for you. And God never fails. I can't deal with you, but God gonna deal with you. Somebody say, leave it up to God. You have done this to me, I leave it up to God. God will take care of you. God said, vengeance is whose? He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You know, you must read Psalm 73 a little. You must read Psalm 73 a little, and you'll notice the man who wrote that psalm, his name is Asaph. Asaph was so bitter. He was so bitter that the wicked people were prospering and he was struggling. But as you read the text, you will go down, I think, to verse 18, when he said the only time he understood their end was when he went into sanctuary, when he went to church, when he went to praise God. Then he realized that the wicked only have a short time. You know, so what people will do to him is for a short span, but eventually he'll be triumph. He will triumph and live eternally with God. And so forgiveness can take place with only one person. Reconciliation requires at least two. Forgiveness is directed one way. So regardless to what, God asks us to forgive. And you know, when it's kind of funny, you ask somebody for forgiveness and you're waiting to hear they say, you know, I'm sorry. And if we don't hear that little line in the back, we think they didn't appreciate it. But you release your right to hear, I'm sorry. That's what forgiveness is about. Reconciliation is reciprocal, occurring two ways. Forgiveness is a decision to release the offender. Release them. Reconciliation is the effort to rejoin the offender if you want to reconcile with the individual. Forgiveness involves a change in thinking about the offender. I have to think differently about you. I might have a prejudice towards you. So I have to think differently. Reconciliation involves a change in behavior by the offender. You just wouldn't get away. You got to change your behavior. You can't make me a doormat and doing this time and time and time again and expect forgiveness. There's justice. There's a case in point. There's a case in point. Of an individual who I know personally. Who did something. And thought, because I'm the pastor, I will put it under the carpet. Well, I want you to know, if you do something that required the law to be involved, don't come to me because I wouldn't hide it. And then we come under it, okay, I ask for forgiveness. You know, you ask for forgiveness for an act you committed. You know, there's justice also. Forgiveness is a free gift to the one who has broken trust. Reconciliation is a restored relationship based on a restored trust. Forgiveness is extended even if it is never ever earned. Reconciliation is offered to the offender because it has been earned. Forgiveness is unconditional regardless of a lack of repentance. Reconciliation is conditional based on repentance. And so in this world, as we travel, do you know so many individuals are distraught? There are so many in the hospital locked up in different wards because they cannot deal with rejection. They cannot deal with an unforgiving spirit. People are struggling. You want to come to church and you look at some faces, and the thing about us in our church, you come and you ask somebody, how are you today? Oh, I'm great. Great what? But we could mask our feeling because only God knows what goes on in the inside in your life. Only God knows. And forgiveness is what we need. The ultimate excuse, I can't forgive, which really means I won't forgive. You may not feel like forgiving, but that doesn't exempt you from God's command to forgive willingly. God asks us to forgive. When we forgive others, we confirm that what Christ did for us on the cross, when he died for our sins so that we might be forgiven. We have to accept that Jesus died that we might have life. The powerful positive principle of forgiveness will unlock our embedded spirit and set the power of God free in our souls. It will make us kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. It will make us like Christ when we learn to forgive. Through our scriptural understanding of forgiveness is found most clearly in the writings of the Apostle Paul. No doubt he too grappled with his own forgiveness. Yes. All of us. All of us. But remember what Psalm 103, 8, 10, 12 says. The Lord is what? Compassionate. And what?
Gracious.
And gracious. Slow to anger. And abundant in what? Love. He does not what? Treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. God is gracious. God is compassionate. And you and I need to be gracious and compassionate to those who have offended us.
Yes.
Take it or like it. That's what the Bible says. You may not want to do it, but if you want to live a life for Christ, you got to go the second mile. You got to forgive. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Wives, love your husband. All what we have in family life and the problems we have in our homes and in our church is a result of us not learning to forgive. And so, why we can't forgive ourselves? Do you know many of us can't forgive ourselves? Do you know many of us in our churches, we cannot forgive ourselves? Maybe we have done something that God has forgiven us already. But we just can't forgive ourselves. Our resistance generally can be traced to one of four general problem areas. Believe in a performance-based forgiveness. The more I do, you see somebody in church, they want every office. Every office, every meeting they show up. They're using all the time and all the energy because based on performance, I want to do so I could be forgiven. You cannot do. God forgives and he is free. Disappointment in yourself. You're disappointed in yourself. You didn't do that and you didn't do the next. Adjustment and surrender to guilt. Expectation to repeat that sin. So you don't want to forgive yourself. Performance-based forgiveness is not biblical-based forgiveness. We can't pay for God's ultimate forgiveness by working harder or serving more fervently. We can't. Some of us lose ourselves doing in the church, hoping by doing more, God will bless us more. Many of us are at or have been at that place in our lives. We struggle with forgiving ourselves for things we did in the past. Some of those mistakes have occurred years and years ago. We can't bring ourselves to that point where we need to forgive ourselves. And I'm telling you, we ought to learn to forgive ourselves. God has forgiven you already. So why are you carrying it? Now, look at this. A lot of people are struggling just to forgive themselves. Just to forgive themselves. Struggling. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ have done what? Forgave you. Perhaps adult who said cruel things as children, or who engage in sin as teenagers, look back and vividly remember how they acted. Or some women who have been had abortion experience, annoying, haunting feeling of remorse deep down inside, even though they have asked God and other people to forgive them, somehow they can't seem to forgive themselves. Or men and women who divorce their spouses, realize they were wrong and cannot forgive themselves. Or parents who ran their children away from home and their children's lives are wrecked and ruined as a result, can't forgive themselves for being the cause. God has forgiven you. Move on with your life. Yet the ability or capacity to forgive ourselves is absolutely essential if any peace whatsoever is to be found. If we fail to forgive ourselves and move on with our lives, we will be stuck right where we are, going nowhere. There's so many people who are stuck in neutral, going nowhere in their lives. Bitterness. Have you ever heard what the word bitterness? You're bitter. Some people are not only angry, they are bitter and resentful. Bitterness. Bitterness often lies between our inability to forgive and be forgiven. Now, this one is important. It is a corrosive culprit that denies our peace and destroys our relationship. The Bible cautions us about the root of bitterness. The Bible tells us, see to it in Hebrews 12:15, that no one comes short of the grace of God. That no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble and by it may be defiled. Bitterness. I mean, some folks are so angry and some folks are so bitter. Bitterness is never constructive. Bitterness is always destructive. It doesn't make any difference what people have done to us or how bad it was or how often they did it. We need not be bitter. Bitterness as a response to wrongdoing is never acceptable before God. Nothing good even comes from bitterness. Have you ever been bitter? As I said, Asaph was bitter, but then he became better. So from bitterness to betterness, we have to learn to forgive ourselves. We have to learn to stop being bitter and give it all to God. Though we can't see what is happening on the inside, often we see visible outer result. Bitterness is like a continually running machine that uses our bodies for its energy source. When you are bitter, you're always angry. When you are bitter, somebody say good morning, you can't even respond properly. You are bitter. Your face always make up. You always look like you want to fight somebody. Could you imagine having 5 bitter people on your church board? Could you imagine 5 bitter people on your church board? I'm sorry for the pastor in that church. Bitter. Unresolved situation in your life. It runs when we are sleeping. It runs when we are talking with our friends. And it runs when we are simply sitting and being quiet. Because bitterness is a lifestyle and not an isolated occurrence. It never shuts down. It keeps operating and draining our energy. When we are bitter, it keeps going. Keep going. Bitterness. But only God. Only God can help. Only God can deliver. Bitter, angry parents are flinging verbal javelin at their children, shattering their children's self-esteem, their sense of belonging, their sense of competencies. Now, do you know when you're bitter, you destroy your children? When you are bitter, you destroy husband and wife. When you are bitter, you destroy all those around you. Bitterness. Anybody here have ever seen a bitter person? Yeah? You saw them? You could see them for a mile. You know them coming. You look at them and you could see them. Unresolved issues. All we need to do, God has a very simple way. He said, just bring it to me. Bring it to me. Parents impelled by bitter attitudes can destroy their children with bitter attitude, just as Saul, in a terrible fit of anger, tried to kill his own son. As children of God, however, we have the capacity to forgive and to root out bitterness from our lives, even when it causes us temporary loss or humiliation. Unless we forgive, we cannot love. Unless we forgive, we cannot love. So when we use this word love so freely, sometimes we are not truthful. We cannot love. Everybody say, I love you. I love you. But yet, deep down inside, you have not forgiven each other. We have not done it. And so how can we be motivated to forgive and to root out bitterness? How can we do it? Well, we need to heed the call of our Lord Jesus Christ and forgive others. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Then he said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Amen. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So before you receive forgiveness, you must forgive. Now, if there's anyone here who have ought against me, you know, please forgive me. You know, the beginning of every year in my church, I stand up and always say to the members, I have offended you. I don't use the if. Forgive me. Because I'm a human just like you. And we all have the tendency to make mistakes. And so therefore we all need forgiveness from God. All of us need that forgiveness. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I cannot of myself forgive, but with Christ living in me, I am able to forgive. Amen? Because I can't do it on my own. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. The King James says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, by the grace of God, getting rid of bitterness. Now we come into it. How do I get rid of bitterness? Getting rid of bitterness is a step-by-step process that leads toward emotional liberation and spiritual freedom. The steps are simple. As you're listening, a face of someone towards whom you feel bitter has probably come in mind. Look before you. There's a face that is coming right now before you. Don't think I don't know. There's a face coming right before you. Just look at that face. You're bitter towards that person. Look at them. See them right before you. Watch them. Okay? Watch this. Number one, you want to get rid of that bitterness? You really want to get rid of bitterness? Look at this. Make a list of the ways in which that person has offended you. Write it down. You know, this is what you have done to me. Makes me bitter and angry. Number two, make a list of your own faults. You know, somebody thinks you think maybe sanctified and you're holy. Somebody thinks you have done. Put them together. Next, make a list of things you have done and for which God has forgiven you. Then ask God to help you view that person who has wronged you as a soul in the hand of God. Give them over to God. Don't keep them before your memory and have them in your memory bank. Every time something happens, you press that record and you rewind it and it plays back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You see, I'll tell you, what the devil does is this. It's like a wheel. You have a wheel with some spokes. And if you have some bitterness, some resentment, and you have something that you have not asked forgiveness for, it form a scab over it. Okay? And let's say, for instance, you think it's okay, you forgot, you have not gone through the process of asking for forgiveness or releasing that person. You know what will happen eventually? Something happened, the devil come through a back door, triggers that sore, peels off the scab, and it starts oozing again. And you become bitter and you keep going on and on. It's a cycle. So the devil got you caught. He will use that back door to destroy you. But you don't need scab over that wound. You need that to be healed completely by the grace of God. And it's only then you are able to move on. It's only then you are able to move on by the grace of God. The only way, ask God to forgive you for your bitterness towards that person. Decide in your heart to assume total responsibility for your own attitude. If you feel it is appropriate and will not cause more problem than it serves, go to that person, confess your bitterness, ask for forgiveness. That's what I did. But when I reached there, the man was dead. He was dead. He was gone. I still live with that unto this day. But I know God forgave me. But I don't know if He forgave me. But I know God forgave me. I still think about it. Has that ever happened to you? Never. Thank God. Because it's not a good feeling. That's why if I have done something to somebody, I'm going to you quickly. Before the sun set, I want to talk to you about it and ask you to forgive me. Remember, you are assuming the responsibility for your attitude. You are not trying to solicit repentance. He has not dealt with us. God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgression from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Psalm 103, verses 10 to 14. And so, in our churches, and in this world around us, in our community, there are so many individuals who are suffering silently with anger, with bitterness, can't forgive themselves, can't forgive others. And so we struggle. But to forgive others is a commandment of Jesus. He said, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Divine forgiveness is the fact that God, in His mercies, chose to release you from the penalty for your sins. Unfortunately, some people refuse to receive this gift from God. Some people refuse. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Bible says He is slow to anger, abundant in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Forgiveness, my friends, is liberating, but it is also sometimes painful. It is liberating because we are freed from the heavy load of guilt, bitterness, and anger we have harbored within our souls. It is painful because it is difficult to have to face ourselves, God, and others with our failures. It seems easier to blame others and go on defending our position of being right, even though we continue to hurt. But the poison of an unforgiving spirit that permeates our entire lives, separating us from God and friends, can never be adequately defended. When we are wrong, we are wrong. And when people have ought against us, God says, forgive them. Forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. It is devastating to our spiritual and our emotional well-being and to our physical health. Do you know when we fail to forgive people, do you know it destroys us emotionally, physically, and spiritually? When we fail to forgive. In a little while, my wife is going to come here. We're going to have a little open discussion. Because I'll tell you, there are many of us who are not willing to admit that we are struggling with unresolved anger and bitterness. Forgiveness does not mean denying that you were hurt or that the matter was important. Rather, forgiveness means letting go and letting God. It means turning another person over to God's judgment. That's what it means. It means trusting God to deal with a person as God chooses, without putting yourself in the way. Forgiving quickly. The sooner you forgive, the sooner you can receive God's healing for any pain or sorrow you have experienced. That's wonderful. The sooner I forgive. Divine forgiveness was extended by Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sins in full. He died on the cross as payment for the sins of all people. While we owe a debt we could not pay, he paid the debt he did not owe. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Christ our Messiah, laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Calvary is a solution for all our pain, all our sorrow. Calvary is a solution because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that means you, and that means me. I want you to know, we could mask our pain very easily. But I'm so glad that you don't know what I have in my heart. And I'm so glad that only God knows your heart and God knows my heart. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good to know that God knows my pain? Isn't it wonderful that when I feel, you know, that I'm a victim, when I feel that, you know, and you know, people trample upon you, you feel good to know that God knows what's in your heart. Now, in pastoral ministry, it's not easy. And I'll tell you why it's not easy. Sometimes in pastoral ministry, people who have unresolved issues, sometimes they want to bang on somebody. They say so many hurtful things to you. But when you as a pastor know that your mission is not about man, it's about God, you have to be like Jesus. Amen? And pastors, we need to be humble like Jesus. And we have to understand our mission is to feed the lambs of God. That's our mission, to love God's people. Just as he loves you, we need to love you. And we need to love each other. when someone comes into the church. Do you know how we operate sometimes? Because you don't have a good relationship with someone, you wouldn't sit by them. You'll go on this side of the pew. And you will see, and if they move over by you, you move to the next pew. And yet when they call to sing and to pray, you pray in holy with lifted hand. And yet you go through the door, and you wouldn't say hello to that person. You pass them like you don't. We have a nice way in church how to pass people if we don't like them, you know. If they stand up here, we pass over there. And if we see them coming there, we go through here. But all I'm saying to all of us here, as my wife going to come now to recap and bring us back again, is that without forgiveness, without the gift of forgiveness in our lives, we wouldn't make it in God's kingdom. Forgive us as we forgive others. Mm-hmm. And as we learn to forgive, and God forgives us, He will give us the strength. That load will be released from you. Maybe it's a husband who isn't treating you well. Put him in the hands of God. Amen. Maybe it's a wife. Put her in the hands of God. Maybe it's children. Children who you have brought up now have turned their backs on you. Mm-hmm. Become rebellious, and you have done all that you can. You just take them to God. Forgive them. Forgive them. Release them. You know when the Lord comes. You know when He comes and He looks over that record.
Yes.
You and I, we want to hear from His lips, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord."
Amen.
What a day that's going to be. What a rejoicing that's going to be. Then we see people who have trampled on us and how God has forgiven them because you released them. There's no greater joy than forgiving somebody. I have been down that track many times. And I cannot be a hypocrite by not forgiving and still want to preach. You can't. Your conscience kills you. You got to be transparent. You got to be open. And if I could do it, you could do it. And if you could do it, you could do it. And so as all of us get older in life and we look back where God has brought us from, we need to say, "Thank God from whom all blessings flow." That you go to bed and you could have a good night's rest because your conscience is clear and you could say all the way, "My Savior, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercies?" Thank God for His wonderful blessing. The gift of forgiveness. If we would only apply these basic principles, I believe that we won't only be better people, but we'll have better churches, better homes, better children, and better family. And so the family of God will be like a light in the community. That men and women will see and know that we have been with Jesus. Amen. So my prayer is that we remain faithful and release and let them go who have aught against you. And then you will see heavens open and God's blessing will pour into your life. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see a change that only God can bring. I'll ask my wife to come. And
this is indeed a powerful part of our Christian journey. And as I sat and listened to my husband and know that it's an individual walk with God. Collectively we walk. But when it comes to forgiving, because I don't know what you're holding, you don't know what I'm holding or what you've let go and I've let go in the past. Many of us sitting here and listening are free because we have somehow managed to let it go. Some of us may still be struggling. And just remember that although today you may not be struggling with unforgiveness or the ability to forgive, tomorrow you may be presented with a problem so great, so devastating, that you will look back at this seminar and said, "How could they say that I can forgive this person?" You will throw your hands up and said, God, is it possible? Is it real? We are here to say today, it is possible. It is real. The moment we fail to forgive, the moment we fail to let go, we have put God in a box and we are saying the problem is bigger than God. The problem is never bigger than God. We have heard, we have seen, and some of the material from Stanley C.F. 1991 from his work, The Gift of Forgiveness, stood clear before us this morning. Now, do you know that one person says, forgive, the ability or the inability to forgive is like taking poison and waiting for the next person to die. That's so bad it is. We're chained. And you're saying, tell me some practical ways of forgiving. My husband mentioned some. Is anyone able to just share one or two points? How did you manage to forgive? How are you working through forgiveness? What, you don't have to tell us what it is. What practical ways have you learned to deal with the possibility, the ability to release someone and to feel free within yourself?
Well, my experience has been that just to relate to how Christ has forgiven me. And if Christ can forgive me, I have to forgive.
Yes.
And God is so great. And that helps me through forgiveness.
Thank you. Another question, while somebody, while we get to the mic, one of the other questions I want to ask, forgiven, do you forget? We'll take your, how do you forget?
Yeah. I think one of the big things for me in forgiveness is that I had to realize how much God loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And then in doing that, I had to release that person because my anger and my bitterness wasn't hurting them.
That's
it was
right.
Only hurting me.
True.
Yes.
And I remember being really, really angry when someone in our church, because I talked about how I could not forgive this person, how someone in our church said, well, maybe if you started praying for them and allowing them to be the person that they want to be, then forgiveness will happen for you. And it truly did. Is when I started praying for that person and saying, you're God's child. I can't do anything about the way that you want to live your life, but I can choose to live my life without being angry and bitter towards you. Then God provided that healing for me.
Amen.
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 So you've been down that street. Wow.
Anyone else?
Been down that street.
For myself, I had to first figure out why I was angry before I could forgive. I've been angry for so long at a certain individual that I forgot what I was angry about, the cause of the anger. And when I, after speaking about it, the cause was brought out in the conversation, then I could truly let it go. But until that point, I could say I'd forgive, but the cause would always be there and it would be unresolved and not dealt with. But once the cause is acknowledged on my part, then I can forgive. It's a step forward to forgive.
Thank you. Thank you. Next person. Yeah, thanks.
When I look back at my life, I realize that I couldn't help. And I'm talking about my husband. I could not help.
Give me the mic.
Yeah, when I realized that it's not about me, it's all about God, I was able to look at my husband and said, you know, Lord, I can't save him. The only person can is you. So then I was able to forgive him, write him a letter and saying that I forgive the things you have done in the past. And that released me of the pain that I was suffering for all these years. So now sitting here and listening to the workshop, I realized that I sit here without no pain, without nothing, like it's a release. And I could look at my husband and could love him, even though through the things and the pain that I've gone through. And
you I could still love him.
And I thank, and I could love him. And I wonder, why do I love him? But it's all because of Christ.
Amen.
If it was not Christ, I could not have that love. Because you look back, because you talk about bitterness. When I look at the bitterness that was in his face, it was like looking at the devil himself. You should just see the whole face, his whole features would change. And I figured, Lord, he said, that's the devil himself. That's not him. So I had to pray and ask God to help him and to help me. So today I'm sitting here thanking God and praising God for what he has done. And I'm glad I came to this workshop to bring, it brought back a lot of things to me. But realizing that I forgive.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
That I could sit here in camp meeting. I used to come to camp meeting and would be crying. Like Pastor says, sometimes you see somebody smiling, but deep down they're crying inside. Yeah. I would walk on the campground and would be crying. But today I could say, thank God.
Yes.
Amen. I'm not crying anymore, but I'm here praising God for what he has done. He hasn't brought him in yet, but I know he will. Because he's not my problem, he's God's problem.
That's right.
Amen.
So I leave him in God's hands.
That's right. You release him to God.
this is really powerful.
That is so
because
true.
Do you, as we realize, we are not minimizing whatever you have experienced. We have learned, we have seen, we have witnessed, we have worked through awful scenarios. How can you forgive someone who you have loved? Given your life to, kept pure, wait for that day. And somehow, 1 year, 2 years in the marriage, he stepped out on the other side. And a few months later, or within a year later, you were diagnosed with AIDS. How do you forgive someone who has abused your 8-year-old who says he loves you? How do you forgive a family member who has done the same? How do you forgive? How do you forgive? We are not minimizing whatever anyone is going through or has gone through. We are coming together as a family of God, saying, in order for us to experience the forgiveness of God, in order for us to make it right with our souls, we are asking God. We are not asking the pastor. We are not asking the elder or the family life ministries director. Mm-hmm. We are asking God to make it possible for us to forgive. It is not us, because it is only through the grace of God that we can forgive. And before the next question, I've worked with, as we mentioned about the older adults yesterday, our seniors, I've seen residents with no visitors, sitting down, we're saying, no one will come. What happened? And we have, I remember speaking personally with a daughter, and I said, I see you have come to visit your mom. It's so nice to see you. And then she sat down and she said, my mom have burned her bridges over the years. She has no friends, and her families are staying away. Now that mom had to live with what the life she lived and the pain she has caused and those who she has isolated from her, or it is a painful situation. But the thing about it is that when we fail to let go, when we fail to let God, we block our own health and happiness and peace of mind. Forgiveness is not easy, but for the grace of God.
Before you take that question, one day in my church in Winnipeg, my wife came to me and she said, you know, where I'm working, there's a woman and her husband. That's it. They decided they're going to split. They're not church people. They packed their bags and they're ready to split. They're ready to go. She said, would you see them as a last resort? They have been through different counselors, and what could I do? But I always, when my wife speak, you know, like E.F. Hutton speak, everybody listen. I said, okay. I met them at my church. She sat about there. He sat about here. The wide gulf was between them. And then I asked the gentleman, I said, well, why you want to split? And I asked her, she said, you know, he said, when we got married, we decided not to have children, but she's pregnant and I don't want a child. So I realized I have something in my hand now. I mean, this is bigger than I can handle. But you know, I bow and I pray. I say, God, if this is the last chance for this home, what could I do? So by talking and counseling through them, I looked at the man. I said, when last did you say to your wife you love her and you forgive her? He said, Pastor, you know, I don't recall. I said, well, look at her down there. I said, I want you to just tell her that you forgive her and you love her. Well, I want to say it's only God's spirit. The man said to his wife, he looked at her and she's looking at him. I was scared. And he looked at her and he said, I forgive you and I love you. Well, let me tell you, before I could have blinked like this, she jumped from where she were and she jumped on his lap and she hugged him. And, you know, I was a bit embarrassed. I opened the office and I went outside. And you know, I'll tell you something. Unto this day, they live in Northern Ontario. And they're one of the sweetest couple you'll ever meet. They're not Seventh-day Adventists. But I want you to know, when you put God, and if we learn how to forgive, mm-hmm. you will yes. be amazed. You see, I'll tell you something. God is the one who caused things to happen. Not us, not the pastor, not the God.
Yes.
So at that right moment, I've never seen a woman made a jump like that yet. And she was pregnant. But it didn't matter anymore. Now she got acceptance. Now she got forgiveness. Now she got love. So now they were walking out. Watch them walk out, holding hand in hand. And I see them going. They got home. They got back their suitcase. They unpacked. And they start to live. One was a nurse. And the gentleman worked for an engineering company. One was Irish, one was German. Because I had to ask them. But you know, with God. So don't tell me
yes.
that we can't forgive. Forgiveness
but for the grace
is
of God.
The key. And with God and forgiveness, all things. Apostle, I could stay here for the next hour and give you stories after stories, but I don't want to take your time. There's someone there.
Right over here,
I have something to say. We need to carry that robe and keep it on and give our problems and our judgments and our sins to God. Mm-hmm. And the path is really narrow, and it's very, very hard to do without God being
That's
there.
True.
And the Satan is working overtime, and mm-hmm. he's working in everyone's life.
Every.
Our children, our families, our husbands, our friends. So to keep on the robe is our faith and our hope that there's a better life.
Thank you. Just last night, we had, we have a few more minutes, I'm glad. We were talking in our trailer, and we're talking with her 16-year-old. She's on the site with us, and we're talking about marriage. With one, and one of the things I was saying to her, I said, I've said to our four children, if you find someone you want to get married to and we have our doubts, we are going to share our doubts with you. We are going to ask God to open your eyes. But should you still get married to that person and things don't work out, please don't suffer in silence. Remember that our home is always open. We cannot decide for children. We can only share with them. We can only hope. And sometimes, because this is family, and as we build families, and our children get married, they're building families, and the church, the family of God becomes wider, And we hope that it will become healthier and stronger. But sometimes we have broken links, and that's where we come in. And I have reiterated, reemphasized to my children, don't suffer in silence. Because sometimes as parents, we may get upset, we get angry, we don't want to see you again if you're married to that guy or that girl. We don't want to hear anything about the grandchildren. And our children are out there suffering, hoping that they could call and say, we don't have to tell them, I told you so. Please don't say that. Once they call for help, take a deep breath and say, God, thank you. Because many prodigals are out there. And just like the Father has forgiven us, if we were to tell our children what we have done and the mistakes we have made, they would say, is that true? Is it possible? They want to know that we're real. And they want to know that if something happens down the path of building their own lives that will stop them in their step and their gap and their pathway to Christ, they know they have someone they can count on. And that someone could be you, could be me. It could be another brother or sister's daughter, another daughter or son in Israel. We are a family, and we must live and strive by God's grace to be real families. Forgiveness is hard, but for the grace of God, you can look back without pain. You can remember, but you're not hurting. That's when you know healing has taken place. And one more thing before I let my husband say something here, is that if you can't do it by yourself, if you can't do it in the pastor's study with the elders praying, and you have to seek a Christian therapist, go and get therapy. You'll be surprised at what the person is saying to you is also buried in the holy book. But somehow that person brings out something and says, is that real? Is that true? But I can do that. But for the grace of God. Because that's the only way when the clouds burst open, we will have a spot in His glory.
You see, our sister mentioned the enemy. Don't underestimate the demon of hell. The only way he could attack you is if there's unresolved issues.
Yes.
He used that as a springboard to destroy you. So the quicker you forgive and get release, praise God, from whom all blessed flow.
Amen.
Because he wants to come through the back door in your life. As I said, before I became a Seventh-day Adventist, my father, as I said, he used to drink and he lived his life. And everyone in our area believed that myself and my brothers, we all will be like our father, a drunk. But when I accepted Christ, I was able to move from under my father's bloodline.
Yes.
To the bloodline of Jesus.
Amen.
So there's no more should I carry on the sins of the father that move on to the third and fourth generation.
Yes.
We call them generational curse. And so sometimes your children might marry into a family, but you don't know what happened with their past. Mm-hmm. Your children could have grown up in wonderful homes. Mm-hmm. But you don't know the past of the husband or the past of the wife. You don't know. And that's why you have to bring them to God each and every day.
Amen.
That they give their life to Christ and break that generational curse and you come under the bloodline of Jesus.
Amen.
And so as we close off here, just want to say, any more questions? Okay. Want to say thank you. Any questions again?
Yes, because we have for 10 minutes still.
Okay. Go ahead.
Anybody has anything to say? Now is your big break. Any words of admonition you'd like to pass on to anyone? Because it doesn't have to be something that you're working with, but something that somebody else is working with that could be meaningful to any one of us here.
If not, you're going to do some more slides?
No, we're going to pray. Let's stand for prayer. Loving Father.
Yes.
You're such a loving and forgiving and kind and compassionate God.
Amen.
I want to thank you for the few days you have allowed us to share, to help build up the families of God.
Mm.
I pray, oh God, that we have done the best to the best of our ability. I want to thank you for the opportunity you have given us and for those who have come and for those who are listening.
Amen.
Maybe in the quietness of their RV, oh God, may you work with them and work with each one of us.
Mm.
Lord, we want to make heaven our home. We cannot allow individuals to prevent us. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke every demonic forces in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That you will liberate us. You will set us free in the name, for in your name there is power.
Amen.
And if Jesus set you free, thank God we are free indeed. We thank you for liberation. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, O God, for that day when you will come. When sin and sinners will be no more.
Mm.
Where we will live with you forever and forever through the ceaseless ages of eternity. Until then, O God, keep us all faithful in our homes, in our work, and wherever we travel. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.